The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hour three, last hour of the show at 7:06. I'm Randy Corporan. So good to have you here. Phones have been hot. The number's 303-696-1971. 696-1971. Before we get to work or get back to work, we can't forget the Irish.
The ark started moving. It drifted with it.
Yeah, you can see I've been a bit obsessed with that song, but if you're going to listen, you just got to deal with it. Anyway, we do have some work to do, and if you were with us at the end of the last hour, we were joined by an inspirational figure, someone who is doing work through his pastorship, through just setting the Guinness Book World Records record for consecutive 26.2-mile marathons, to bring attention to mental health issues and adoption, foster kids, all of those great things. Talked about his relationship with Donald Trump and just on and on and on. And I just think it's really important in this business to, when you have inspirational figures, people who don't just talk but do, to bring them to you whenever we can. I'm so grateful on a Saturday night that our next guest, Scott Pressler, was willing to take some time out of what I know is an incredibly busy schedule right now in Wisconsin. Scott, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Hey, thank you, Randy, for having me.
Better believe it. For folks who don't just instantly recognize the name Scott Pressler, I mean, you got 1.3 million followers on Twitter. People like me who are activists in different spots of the country and just fighting so hard as you are, know you very, very well. But give a little bit of the background. What got you off your couch and got you committed to doing what you've been doing now since 2015 or at least early 16?
Actually, I was inspired, Randy, by President Obama in 2012.
Wow.
And I was mad. But, you know, I wasn't really mad at the president. I was mad at myself. I pointed the finger back at me and I said, Scott, where were you registering voters? Where were you knocking on doors? Where were you getting out the vote? And it was clear to me that I was a part of the problem because I wasn't a part of the solution. So I started volunteering, fell in love with it. In 2014, I got my first ever job helping to elect now Governor Greg Abbott in the great state of Texas. And I wanted to make sure that Hillary Clinton never set foot in the White House ever again. So I spent 2 years of my life making sure that we were electing Donald Trump as the 45th president of the United States. And my life was changed forever in 2019 when President Trump brought attention to the city of Baltimore, Maryland. And I, again, was disappointed in society because everybody knew there was a problem of trash in the city and everyone was getting likes and retweets and they were posting about the problem, but nobody was offering a hand up. And so I'm the guy that went into the city of Baltimore, organized a cleanup within 7 days and got 200 volunteers to pick up 12 tons of trash in 12 hours. And then I thought to myself, wait a sec. If I can clean up all this trash by myself, without the government, without millions of dollars at my disposal, why can't we do this everywhere? So we did. We went to Atlanta, Austin, Baltimore, Chicago, Denver, Duquesne, Detroit, Houston, Kenosha, Los Angeles, Miami, Milwaukee, Nashville, Portland, Pittsburgh, Philly. And Randy, I was protested for picking up trash on the streets of San Francisco, California.
You know, it's just like them trying to shut down a Charlie Kirk event on a college campus. They cannot allow people to demonstrate what the power of an individual, the power of people to actually make decisions, make choices, make a difference in the world, because they've got to bring it back to government. I love what you have on your Facebook page right now. 3.6 million black kids in poverty. Why did Democrats choose illegal aliens first? There is just so much hypocrisy to be pointed out about these folks. And yet I find people in my industry, behind microphones in many cases, are instead constantly attacking Republicans and trying to put us on the defensive. It's just insane.
Yeah, we have to do a better job of exposing the hypocrisy. you know, the Democrats are so anti-gun and they're trying to take away guns from law-abiding citizens. Meanwhile, they'll spend billions of dollars in Ukraine giving guns to the Ukrainian people, and then they'll arm the Taliban with billions of dollars left in military equipment left behind. And, you know, they're anti-wall, yet they live behind walls and security in their own homes for protection. And it's just, it's the hypocrisy is astounding. And that's why we must refute it constantly and why social media is such an important tool.
And thank God for Elon Musk for freeing up the most powerful of those tools still in the world, Twitter. I really do think it's a mistake for Donald Trump to not return to that, given the number of followers he's got there, about a third more than Joe Biden.
Yeah, I hope he does. I understand that he wants to be on Truth Social and that it's his platform. But at the same time, it's for the same reason that I'm on Twitter, because I understand it's a powerful tool that we must use against the Democrats in order to reach the independent voter. Because Truth Social and Getter and Telegram, all of those are wonderful alternatives, but in my mind, they're echo chambers. We must continue to stay on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter to reach the soft Democrat voter and the independent voter.
100%. And I actually ran into you at CPAC a couple of weeks ago, and we had a discussion with our last guest in the last hour about the personal side of Donald Trump, which is so different from the way people try to portray him. Did you spend any time with President Trump at CPAC a couple of weeks ago, or what have your experiences been with him personally before we get into the real reason for you being here tonight?
Well, I got to meet President Trump for the first time ever, so that was pretty gosh darn cool. And I only had a nanosecond with him, but he did tell me something which I'm not going to announce on air. I'm going to wait till I write a book. But
I love it.
He did share something with me that was very kind, and it was a great opportunity to meet him. And the one thing that I hear about President Trump is, for everything that is said about him and everything the Democrats try to throw against the wall to try to have the stick against him pejoratively, I've heard that, you know, when there was flooding in Houston, Texas, that when the people got to meet with him and that he came to be there with the people, that having that one-on-one connection changed their perception of him. And so I would encourage more people to, if there's an opportunity to attend his rally or to have any sort of personal connection with him, that I would encourage them to do so.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I've only been around him a couple times and had one fairly decent conversation, but it's something that you remember, because he's not the apprentice guy or the you're fired guy when you're one-on-one. I've had family members who've spent a ton of time with him, and they're not Republicans or anything. They're in media. And even they have told me that the way the media portrays this man is such an incredible lie, and they don't agree with anything he does politically. And so I just think it's important for people to hear that once in a while, because, man, if you're still even thinking about supporting Donald Trump, especially now that he's going to be indicted in New York, you know, you're an evil person. I don't know if you knew that.
I guess. I've heard
it. So ridiculous. All right. So you are, in addition to, I mean, you made yourself famous by cleaning up cities at no cost to taxpayers and being protested by Democrats for it. And you showed just the power of bringing individuals together to accomplish great things. You're in Wisconsin right now. Why is that?
I'm in Wisconsin right now because, Randy, I want all of your listeners to really perk up their ears to that this is the most important election in the country at this moment. So the current status of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court is it's 4 conservatives to 3 liberals. However, 1 conservative is retiring, and the election to replace that retiree is on April 4th, this upcoming in 2 weeks. And so if we are unable as conservatives to hold that seat, we will see the Wisconsin State Supreme Court flip from conservative to liberal. Now, why is that important? Because number one, Democrat Governor Evers He's the governor. He's in control. And he, during the pandemic, tried to impose a stay-at-home order. Now, the conservative Supreme Court ruled that his stay-at-home order was unconstitutional. So because of that conservative court, our schools could open again. Our businesses could open again. Our churches could open again. And do you know who was the deciding vote? Justice Daniel Kelly, our conservative nominee, who is up for election on April 4th. And so if the court flips to liberal, then Justice Daniel Kelly's opponent is going to be pro-shutting down schools, pro-shutting down businesses, pro-shutting down churches, and pro-lockdowns and stay-at-home orders. But it's even worse than that, Randy, because you know as well as I do, the number one topic that conservatives are concerned about is election integrity. We want safe and secure, fair and free elections. And I'm here to tell you, if we do not elect Justice Daniel Kelly on April 4th, then the voter ID laws that we have right now in the state of Wisconsin will be ruled as unconstitutional. We will not have voter ID laws going into the 2024 presidential election. And furthermore, did you know in the state of Wisconsin, it is required to have proof of residency in order to register to vote? If we do not elect Justice Daniel Kelly on April 4th, proof of residency will be nullified and we will not have election integrity going into 2024. And last, did you know that a conservative Supreme Court in Wisconsin ruled that unmanned drop boxes were unconstitutional? Meaning that if the liberals win and Justice Daniel Kelly is not elected, unmanned drop boxes will be ruled as constitutional. And in addition to not having voter ID laws or proof of residency, you're going to have unmanned drop boxes on every street corner in Madison, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee. And it's going to be very difficult for Republicans to win Wisconsin and therefore win the White House. And so we must all, if you have connections to anybody in Wisconsin, I need you to call them, text them, tweet them, Facebook them, and remind them to please vote for Justice Daniel Kelly on April 4th. But don't just vote on April 4th. I'm asking people to vote early, Randy, and go to myvote.wi.gov. I'm in Racine, Wisconsin right now. I've already been to Kenosha, Waukesha, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Rock, Racine, and it snowed almost every single day. Please, y'all, vote early in this election. Get your Wisconsinites to vote early because it's my contention that it's going to snow on April 4th. And we can't allow what happened to Adam Laxalt in Nevada when it snowed on election day. And Adam Laxalt lost by 8,000 votes when 150,000 Nevada Republicans stayed home. We cannot afford to lose this election because we waited to vote on one day.
It's been a real change in philosophy for Republicans. I think for Donald Trump, I'm the Republican National Committee man from Colorado for the RNC, and we're working on it for grassroots activists who believe in same-day voting, hand-carrying your ballot, not mailing, not trusting the machines if there's a way to vote around them. But that's changed because the Democrats, part of the way that they've won elections is by the tremendous amount of ballot harvesting. In the runoff in Georgia, they had about a 200,000 vote head start into that election before some litigation was done and Republicans actually started voting. We saw what happened in Arizona when all of a sudden on election day in predominantly Republican areas, voting machines were getting loaded with the wrong weight paper, so they didn't recognize them as ballots. They were misfunctioning. There were lines. There were delays. And those races were very, very close as well. So I'm with you that until we change the laws about how people vote or when people vote, we simply have to use the rules that we have and use them better than the other side.
Yeah, it's not like, look, I'm not happy, guys, about having to engage in legal ballot harvesting or early voting or early in-person or mail-in voting or absentee voting. But I realized that unless I use every legal tool at my disposal, I'm going to be fighting elections peacefully with my hands tied behind my back. It's an uneven playing field. So, yes, in Nevada, where ballot harvesting is legal, we're going to have ballot collection sites at gun shops and gun shows and rodeos and churches and rallies. Let's play the game that the Democrats play, use it to our advantage to actually win elections. And then once we have won elections, then and only then will we be able to provide layers of election integrity and make sure that we are securing our elections. But we can't do so unless we actually win. And you bring up the greatest point, which is, look, had we not told the Democrats where we were throwing the football in Arizona, and had we not told them that we were waiting to vote on one day when 70% of Republicans waited to vote on one day and 30% of machines went down on one day, disenfranchising thousands of Republicans, it's my contention that had we engaged in early in-person voting, had we engaged in mail-in voting, then Carrie Lake would be the governor of the great state 48 today. And Ab Hamadeh, he'd be attorney general. He only lost his election by 200 votes, fewer than 300 votes. Imagine, had we done early in-person voting and mail-in voting, Republicans would be in control of the great state 48.
Now, Scott Pressler, you also have a way for people in other states to help out in Wisconsin, do you not?
I do, yes. Well, I launched a super PAC called Early Vote Action on the 23rd of January because I'm just tired of losing. And I'm focused on five strategic key states: Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. We win those five states, with all due respect to my loving Colorado people, we win those five states, then we will win over 270 electoral votes necessary to win back the White House. Boom. So if y'all are listening to this and I have inspired you about the critical and crucial nature of us winning the state Supreme Court seat in Wisconsin, because quite frankly, what happens in this election on April 4th is going to impact you, Denver, is going to impact you, Larimer County, is going to impact you out in Vail with Lauren Boebert's district. This is going to impact Coloradans. And so I need your help. You can make phone calls from the comfort of your home. You can make phone calls from the comfort of your hot tub by going to Early Vote Action on your app store. You're going to download the application Early Vote Action. All you do once you've downloaded it is it's going to ask for your phone number. You don't need a login. You don't need to put in your name. You don't need to put in any information with a passcode. You simply put in your cell phone. Then you're going to click on the arrows. Then you're going to click on where it says make phone calls. Then it says Supreme Court race. And you will then have 25 numbers to start of people that you are calling to get out the vote on behalf of Justice Daniel Kelly. If you want 25 more names after you're done, great. You can do as many as your heart desires. But please go to your app store. You can download Early Vote Action, and this is available for both iPhone users and Android users. And also, if you are unable to make phone calls, but you would like to financially contribute, please go to JusticeDanielKelly.com, K-E-L-L-Y, JusticeDanielKelly.com, to make sure that we are winning this all-important Wisconsin State Supreme Court race.
One of the reasons I wanted to have you on here in Colorado is one of the biggest, you know, we're a deep blue state right now. We are the state that implemented the blueprint, that where the Democrats set up all these dark money organizations and went outside of the political parties to fund them and brought in the machines and the same same day registration and use a utility bill for your ID. All of that started here in Colorado, and we're a ways away from being able to turn that around here. But folks that want to protect the rest of the country to continue this trend toward safe and fair and effective, and that usually means conservative winning elections, can do so right here in Colorado by downloading the Early Vote Action app, and they can help this important Supreme Court seat for the future presidential race by going to JusticeDanielKelly.com. Com. And Scott, you do such a great job of laying it out. And I don't know if you know this. I get some of this stuff from being national committee man. But in the 2022 election, Republicans outvoted Democrats by 4 million votes nationwide. We won the popular vote. We lost some important races, but we won the popular vote. And if it had been a presidential year, our nominee would have won the presidency with about 200 and I believe it's 97 electoral college votes. So people should be of good cheer. We can do this.
We absolutely can. You know, to everyone at home, trust me, I understand how you're feeling. I know that you're worried about our future and you're worried about your kids and you're worried about your taxes and being able to feed your families. But I need you to stay positive and hopeful because I do believe we have the power to save our country. I do, or I wouldn't be doing this work and I wouldn't be on this phone with you all right now. So continue that positive mindset, but more than just having faith, I need you to couple that faith with action. I need you to help me. So please start by at least making some phone calls. It's so easy. You're talking to Republicans. You're not talking to Stacey Abrams or Liz Warren, I promise.
I assume there's a script there and everything, right? I mean, when I've seen these apps in action, yeah, go ahead.
Script, it's so easy, and you will be helping to make sure that we are saving Wisconsin, saving the Supreme Court, and laying a pathway for winning back the White House in 2024.
Scott Pressler, you're a blessing to the future of this nation. You're just unstoppable. A text message just came in, my favorite Scott Pressler video. He's in San Francisco cleaning up and asking why we take care of illegal immigrants better than taking care of homeless Americans. And so you're just appreciated and well-known. And thank you so much for donating some time on a Saturday night here in Denver, Colorado. God bless you, sir.
Oh, anytime. Thank you, Randy.
All right. Take care. So great to run into him. He'd had a real health issue, and but he was looking great. He's huge. I mean, he's this tall, thin, long hair. You can pick him out from a long ways away, but he looks strong and healthy again. And that's the way I'm feeling. I hope you are, too. We've got to jump to a break. We've got a lot more to do. So stay with us here on 710 KNUS. I told Luis Gonzalez behind the glass, you just can't not play Led Zeppelin. But we had one more Irish St. Paddy's Day tribute. Again, it's more of a protest song. It's more of a war song. There was some real ugliness between Ireland and England, as we all know. But it's a great song, too. Powerful, powerful song, really. But it's not very uplifting, is it? Your bombs. And so maybe we'll just go ahead and play the last, well, it's the next to the last verse because I played the wrong one last segment, of my favorite Irish song.
Then Noel looked out through the driving rain.
All right, no more Irish music. We'll get back to it. Do you recall the debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton where she was outlining his many imperfections as a man and a person and a human being and American and as a politician or a candidate? And he said, she said that we're lucky that you will never be president. And he came back and he said, yeah, because you'd be in jail. And from that, the former attorney general under Barack Hussein Obama, the one who, covered up, was in contempt of Congress and never faced any penalty, covered up arms deals in Mexico and all of those scandals for Obama. He tweeted out back in 2016, in the USA, we do not threaten to jail political opponents. At real, Donald Trump said he would. He is promising to abuse the power of the office. And that's exactly what's going on right now. It's exactly what's going on right now. And the reason they're so terrified of Donald Trump is because he not only says things like this, you know, this is exactly what he means.
Never forget, everything this corrupt establishment is doing to me is all about preserving their power and control over the American people. If I renounced my beliefs, which I won't do, if I agreed to stay silent, if I stayed at home, if I said that a corrupt election was wonderful. The persecution would stop immediately. They'd say, good luck. Let's go on to the next victim. But I can't do that because I love our country far, far too much. And remember, they're coming after me because I'm standing up for you. And they're coming after you. Believe me, they're coming up for you.
And you can see it. Look at how they've pursued folks who did not commit violence on January 6th. Look at how they've locked up for 2+ years, many times in solitary confinement, people accused but not yet convicted of crimes. Look at how they've thrown 20+ year sentences at folks in order to terrorize them into taking pleas for things they didn't do, that weren't violations of the law, because they know they couldn't stand in front of a Washington, D.C. jury and get a fair trial. It's outrageous. And tomorrow night, when you are done, I hope that you have a DVR and you can DVR the Mark Levin Show, because I forget what time it comes on. It's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock on Sunday night. When you are done listening to Backbone Radio, the John Andrews created, Matt Dunn perfected, Jeff Hunt approved Backbone Radio, tomorrow night hosted by Jeff Hunt, I hope you will then go watch the Mark Levin Show, because he's going to have Donald Trump's top, probably his very best criminal defense lawyer, a guy named Joseph Tacopino. I'm sorry, Tacopina, I believe is the pronunciation. Joseph Tacopina on his show. And I am in possession of a 12-page letter that Joseph Tacopina sent to the commissioner of the New York City Department of Investigation just a couple days ago, March 10th, well, a little longer ago, over a week, where he outlined the weaponization of the New York County District Attorney's Office. And he outlined the investigations that have been going on for at least, 5 years, heading into 6 years, started back in 2017 when they started investigating alleged payments to Stormy Daniels, Trump and his taxes, which have been combed through and gone over million pages of documents with nothing found. Whether President Trump and the Trump Organization allegedly defrauded its largest lender, Deutsche Bank, whether President Trump's personal financial statements allegedly inflated the value of his real estate assets, and it goes on for page after page after page, and they so far have found nothing. So this politicized prosecutor, just like the one in Georgia, Soros-funded, won't prosecute murderers, won't keep people who are committing violent assaults on subways or at stores or in shadows on the streets, won't keep them in jail for any time at all, won't prosecute people who are protesting on behalf of the Marxist organization Black Lives Matter, burning police cars and injuring people. They won't punish those folks. But this New York prosecutor cobbling together this weak, pathetic, novel legal theory to try and bring Donald Trump down, it's political. It's political. And I hope all of these people remember this.
In 2016, I declared, I am your voice. Today, I add, I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. I am your retribution. Not going to let this happen. Not going to let it happen.
Yeah, that is powerful language from someone who means it, who I believe is going to be the Republican nominee and the next president of the United States. Now, we're a long way to go. But this politicized action next week of the New York District Attorney, if Donald Trump is actually brought up on charges, just be very interesting to see what that does to his polling, because I think it's going to go up. I think it's going to put more distance between him and, really, in my mind so far, the only possible contender for Donald Trump, and that's Ron DeSantis. I don't see a Michael Pence, a Mike Pompeo, a Nikki Haley, or others gaining enough speed, enough energy, enough traction to bump Ron DeSantis out of the second place finish position that he's been holding, and he hasn't announced yet. I get it. And, you know, this is a smart guy, and he's been incredibly effective as governor of Florida. So who knows? Maybe there's a plan. Maybe there's a way. Maybe there's a method that he actually closes this gap. I guess we will find out. But the way it looks right now, it doesn't. The only direction that Trump seems to be going is up. And I would be shocked if that's not the case after this, if and when this indictment comes down. Remember, it hasn't happened yet. It's a leak that it's gonna. And Donald Trump jumped on it. Before we take our break, I know that we're late again, but let me just read to you specifically what Donald Trump said that some people are just wadding up their panties and crying in them over. Here's what he said about 9 hours ago. It's time. We are a nation in steep decline, being led into World War III by a crooked politician who doesn't even know he's alive, but who is surrounded by evil and sinister people who, based on their actions on defunding the police, destroying our military, open borders, no voter ID, inflation, raising taxes, and much more, can only hate our now failing USA. We just can't allow this anymore. They're killing our nation as we sit back and watch. We must save America. Protest, protest, protest. And the weak-minded are saying that that is a call to arms. That is a call for violence, just like the phony accusation that that's what Donald Trump was doing before and during January 6th. It's such nonsense. In fact, when we come back, a caller in the last hour talked about Jacob Chasney, the QAnon shaman, as he's lovingly referred to by the left, and how now that there's video out showing the police escorting him around through the Capitol, trying doors to see if they could get them open for him, walking in behind him into the chamber when he first thing he did was turn and pray for them, that they were just trying to calm him down, that there was one of him and at times up to five armed Capitol Hill police. And what others are saying, what the left wing and the weak stick, middle of the road or I don't know what they are, media are saying, is that they were just trying to calm him down because the guy was out of control. When we come back, I want to play for you. It's just a minute or so, a minute and 20 seconds of an interview that Jacob Chasney did with 60 Minutes. Unbelievable. 7:45, we're wrapping up the show. Stay with us here on 710 KNUS. You want some contrast? We're going from the Outlaws to some Irish punk rock. The Pogues. That was producer's choice. When I was looking at the top 15 Irish songs, I saw that one, and then I'd already gotten my 9 in, so I'm glad you snuck that in, buddy. And since I blew the unicorn song, couldn't really end that the way I wanted to, but that's A-OK. All right, we've only got a few minutes left, and a couple of things that I want to share with you. First, of course, every show, I always have to remind you of these two gems.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machine.
And then we've got good old Dr. Fauci.
I didn't shut down anything. I recommended to the president that we shut the country down.
Always have to play that
twice. I didn't shut down.
That's weird.
I didn't shut down anything. I recommended to the president that we shut the country down.
Yeah. So one was in August of 2022. One was in October of 2020. The malleable Dr. Fauci. And then press secretary Karine Jean-Pierre actually telling the truth.
We're seeing almost 11 jobs created under this president.
That's true. We had almost 11. We're getting very, very close. And here's something that I find very, very amusing. All of the scandals swirling around the Biden crime family, his son, his showering with his daughter, the $3 million now that is being exposed that came in from China, on and on and on. And yet when asked, the Democrat majority whip, Tricky Dick Durbin, had this to say.
There's a fixation on the Biden family by many Republican leaders, and I think there are other issues. that are more relevant and important in the lives of ordinary Americans.
Oh, it's the matter, Dick. Is lying taking away your voice? There's a fixation by Republicans? They've been fixated on Donald Trump because he was so successful and is going to be again, I believe, that they've got to do everything in their power to make sure he's not the Republican nominee, which I believe he will be, and to make sure that he doesn't win the presidency, which at this point I have no reason to doubt that he will. Mark Levin was talking about Ukraine, and I was going to talk about Ukraine this weekend. The Trump indictment story popped up, and so we never really got to that. But there were some interesting things that Mark Levin had to say about different candidates and different approaches and different labels and things like that. And with the couple of minutes we've got left, I think it's very worthwhile to share that with you.
I disagree with my dear friend Donald Trump on some of his foreign policy positions. But I agree with a whole lot of them, too, because I don't think he is as described by so many. I think he's a very clever individual in the way that he deals with foreign leaders. And people try and project onto themselves what Donald Trump is thinking while behind the scenes they're trashing the man.
So that's Levin on Trump, now Levin on DeSantis.
And I consider the governor of Florida a dear friend, a family friend. I do not agree with him on Ukraine. In fact, I was surprised by the statement. I've read it over and over and over again. People say, read it very carefully. I have now for the 20th time. But I still think he'd make a great president, as would Trump again. But it doesn't mean I have to agree with him all the time.
Yeah, and I just don't understand why the Republicans who are drawing these lines in the sand now, you know, Dave Williams taking down the party, Donald Trump, the end of the GOP. Really, he's a blessing for the GOP, and so is this indictment, I think. We shall see. I've made so many predictions over the last couple of years regarding the virus, regarding what we're learning about election fraud, that the truth would begin to come out on J6, and I've been right about those. So, that doesn't make me some prognosticator, but just my tingling spidey sense tells me that this is going to be nothing but a boost for Donald Trump, who's having a massive rally in Texas next weekend, regardless of whether they indict him or not. And just watch the polling and just watch how the squishes and the left wingers squirm. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. I had promised before to play this interview that Jacob Chasney did on 60 Minutes. This is the QAnon shaman that they're saying was so crazy on January 6th that he had to be escorted by the police. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't grab him. They had to try and let him into different rooms.
Your actions on January 6th were an attack on this country. Do you understand that?
No, they were not, ma'am. My actions were not an attack on this country. That is incorrect. That is inaccurate. Entirely.
How would you describe them?
My actions personally?
On January 6th.
My actions on January 6th, how would I describe them? Well, I sang a song, and that's a part of shamanism. It's about creating positive vibrations in a sacred chamber. I also stop people from stealing and vandalizing that sacred space, the Senate. Okay, I actually stopped somebody from stealing muffins out of the break room. I also said a prayer in that sacred chamber because it was my intention to bring divinity and to bring God back into the Senate.
But Jake, legally, you were not allowed to be in what you're calling the sacred chamber.
And that is the one very serious regret that I have, was believing that when we were waved in by police officers, that it was acceptable.
Do you still believe you're a patriot?
I consider myself a lover of my country. I consider myself a believer in the Constitution. I consider myself a believer in truth and our founding principles. I consider myself a believer in God.
That's the crazy person who was in the Capitol in a Viking hat, walking around with five, at times, armed Capitol Hill police officers who, according to people who just refuse to think this through, were too terrified of this crazy man that they were just trying to calm him down, just trying to keep him under wraps. You know how they were trying to calm other people down, like people peacefully assembling outside the Capitol? They launched tear gas and flashbangs, or whatever they're called, into the crowds. They injured people. They crushed people. They did all kinds of horrible things. And the truth is going to come out on the lack of preparation by Nancy Pelosi, the fact that there were multiple, that Donald Trump made National Guard troops available for them. And when they didn't ask for them, as they're required to do, the president can't just bring them in. He affirmatively reached out and said, you know, there could be some violence there. We know what happens when the left assembles to protest something that they don't like. Would you like some help? And these idiots, these crazy idiots, turned it down. And yet, if you even wonder about whether there was some kind of plan to create this violence and let people come into the Capitol and then turn it into this media lie about it being an effort to overthrow the United States government. Really? So stay tuned, stay strong. Do not under any circumstances back down or forget all the things that matter to you. So very important. God loves you. So do I. Do I not have my out? Hit it. Nope. All right. God bless you. See you next week.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.